the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Sones, and I am really, really excited about today's interview. We have an amazing opportunity to hear from Sam Blatt from Amazon, who currently is the Manager of Economic Development Policy at Amazon. So it's going to be a fascinating interview. Thank you so much, Sam, for being a part of the podcast today. If you're ready, I'm just going to dive right in and start peppering you with some questions.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so I want to start back to when you were in college, because I'm always fascinated by how people get into this industry. So I'm so curious, like, what was your plan in college and how did you end up in economic development?
Well, the short answer is that my plan in college was not to get into economic development. And I think that that's probably the case for a lot of economic developers, is that they don't go to college assuming that they're going to end up in that field. A lot of us have different stories about how we kind of fell into it or got into it. You know, one of those cases, I didn't know what economic development was when I went to college, but I was really into politics growing up, both the kind of fun competitive horse racing involving the elections, and I'd stay up on election night when I was younger and watch results. But I was also really into public policy and how policies and public officials could make a difference in communities. And that's both positive and negative differences in communities. So I thought I'd grow up, go to college and go work on Capitol Hill as a staffer, or maybe become a lawyer and become a policy expert in something and be a lobbyist. I don't know, but that was kind of my plan. And so given that, I went to Indiana University. I'm a native Hoosier. And I majored in political science, hoping to someday help make communities better through politics and public policy. And between my junior and senior year of college, I was volunteering on a congressional campaign for a gentleman named Robert Whittingham. And Robert had worked in this Indiana congressional district where Bloomington, Indiana was located, back about 10 years ago, under a congressman named Lee Hamilton, who was a longtime, venerable, well-respected congressman. He was on the 9/11 commission and things like that. And so Robert had worked for him, but he had gone away about 10 years and spent the last decade in Texas doing economic development. And so it was also part of his pitch when we'd go knock on doors for his campaign was, you know, I remember I'd go as a 21-year-old and I'd knock on doors and tell people they should vote for Robert because of his experience with economic development. And I had no idea what economic development was, right? But I was a young, eager kid trying to convince people to vote for him. Long story short, Robert ended up losing that campaign and going back to Texas. And he went back and he got a job as the executive director of the Prosper Economic Development Corporation, which is Prosper is the name of a town. It's in northern Dallas suburb. And when I was graduating the following year, I did what every college kid does. I reached out to every single human being I knew, you know, writing them letters, calling them, trying to get letters of recommendation or looking for some type of job. And Robert, you know, actually stepped up and said, you know, this is perfect timing. I've had a long time, you know, sort of part-time executive assistant who's retiring, and I want to turn this role into something bigger and flesh it out into a full-time economic development assistant role. And I guess, you know, he'd been very impressed with my work and, you know, the initiative that I took on the campaign. And so, yeah, he hired me for that role as the economic development assistant in Prosper, Texas. And so I put what I owned in my car, a 91 Buick, and I drove to Texas and started my life in economic development.
I love that.
I think I got extremely lucky with the role in the profession because we've all heard the phrase, you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't know that my passion was actually sort of this private public hybrid of helping communities rather than the more stringent, pure public policy stuff. So as I learned economic development, went through the different courses, the basic economic development courses, OUEDI, IEDC, did the real work. I really fell in love with that version of community building. And that was in 2013, and I've been involved in the industry ever since.
I love that story. And I love how your passion as a kid of like public policy and elections, kind of you met people along the way and then found like that next love and like where you really fit into that. That's so cool. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. So you've had this experience in on the local level and at the county level, and now you're working for a corporation, and a corporation that we all know, you know, is a very popular name of Amazon, and you're working on policy. So like, what's your focus when you're now working on behalf of a corporation, and how has your skill set evolved from working from a community to now working and doing the work that you do now with a corporation?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I'm still doing economic development at Amazon, and obviously executing economic development functions for Amazon as opposed to a city or a region or a state, it's different in many ways, but I like to emphasize how much they're actually the same and similar. You know, whether you're working on behalf of a community or a corporation, in economic development, the goal is the same. It's trying to help create quality jobs, increase the economic well-being of your residents and the quality of life for your community. And communities do that by trying to attract and grow private sector companies that create those quality jobs and skilled workforce. And, you know, Amazon is a private sector company that looks for great communities with a quality labor force that we need to better serve our customers. And so, you know, speaking of quality jobs, Amazon provides industry-leading wages, excellent benefits. We've got a built-in workforce development component through our career choice program that some are familiar with. But that provides prepaid tuition for associates who've been with the company for at least 90 days. So our goals are very aligned with community economic developers. I would say the biggest difference, of course, is that, you know, most economic developers are advocating on behalf of a single community, and they work with a variety of companies and industries. Whereas in my role, it's kind of the reverse. I advocate on behalf of a single company and work with a variety of communities and economic developers. I think another similarity, though, between the community economic development and Amazon's economic development is that we're both looking at the long term. And so Amazon isn't just coming through a community, build a facility, and then, you know, wipe our hands and leave. We are long-term sustainable employers, and we make sure that we treat our economic development colleagues that way as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about that relationship, because as you know, that when you're working for a community, you're being really careful about like who you are bringing to your community, because you want them to be a sustainable, good employer for the long term. And so in a perfect world, like what does that engagement look like, you know, between community and Amazon? And how would communities, if they're thinking about like, how do I work with some of the corporate economic development roles? You know, maybe it's not Amazon, but maybe they have another company that they're trying to recruit. Like, what do you feel like that engagement is? Like, how do they work with an Amazon to recruit or another company? Like, what do you prefer as that engagement from like a community that's looking to have a facility there?
Sure. It's a great question. And speaking for Amazon, our major priorities when working a project in a community are to successfully launch it on our timeline to meet the needs of our customers. So personally, I want an economic development agency to tell me up front if there are some risks associated with a project. The economic development professional knows his or her community much better than I do. And they understand the nuances, the personalities of their community better than I ever could. I want to know if there's maybe a politician who isn't a fan of Amazon. I want to know if maybe there's a difficult public agency that's going to maybe back up the approval process or take a little bit more time, for example. You know, I understand it's not fun as an economic developer to tell us that these things are the reality, and they may think that they're actually sabotaging their chances of a project moving forward, but it's actually the opposite. It's much easier for us as Amazon to manage those risks when they're transparent, factored in, and told to us up front when we're evaluating our timeline and decision making. One other point I would emphasize is that we really see our community economic development partners as acting as our shepherds, because they share our priorities and goals. We all speak the same language. We understand economic development. And as we know, economic developers are connectors, and they're the glue that bring different entities and agencies together. So our projects go much more smoothly when our economic development partners can be our main point of contact and sort of quarterback our project efforts, given their local knowledge and bird's eye view of the various public agencies. So I'm really saying and empowering the economic developers who are listening to really take the lead on our projects and be that point person for a company like Amazon. Ultimately, Amazon seeks to be a long-term partner in the communities where it locates. And one of our leadership principles is customer obsession. And while that applies a lot of times to the consumers and the people who are shopping online, from an economic development standpoint, working at Amazon, that applies to our economic development counterparts and the community residents at large. The economic development organizations and residents, they represent our customers. And therefore, you know, we're always making sure that we work and ensure that we're set up for long-term success as a partner in that community.
I love that you talked about the risk and just being like really upfront and honest about like, hey, here are the risks, because I think that's something that you mentioned. It's hard sometimes for a community because you are in a little bit of a sales role and you're worried about like, well, if we present these risks and the other communities we're competing with don't, then will we be out? And I love that you're saying like, no, we want to know what those risks are so that we can manage those risks. I think that's a really important point for our listening audience. So let's talk about just kind of the size, because Amazon is, it's growing fast. And I know that that growth probably really impacts how you're approaching economic development. How are you prioritizing like areas for expansion, areas that you put new facilities? And how do you work with those local and state economic developers when you know this likely isn't the one project, it's likely one of many that may be coming in the future?
Right. Well, as you say, we have grown tremendously, especially over the last 10 years. And we're proud of the positive impacts that that has generated. And you know, speaking of being a salesperson in economic development, I do want to share some numbers as part of that. Since 2010, we've actually invested more than $530 billion, that's billion with a B, in the United States. We employ around 3.8 million jobs, and more than a million of those jobs are full-time employees directly hired by Amazon across the country. Our investments and our footprint have grown, and we have 1.6 million indirect jobs. You got to think about the construction folks, the logistics, and other professional services that are hired as part of that warehouse growth. I think crucially, we've also helped create jobs by having more than a million small and medium-sized businesses sell on Amazon.com. And so I did want to make sure I put those numbers out there because it really helps to encapsulate that growth that you're mentioning. When it comes to where we locate, those decisions are based on our business demands at the time and the needs of the network. But we always strive to treat the state and local partners just as we would a customer. You know, I mentioned before our leadership principle is customer obsession. Another one is to earn trust. One of the most important attributes of any relationship, personal or professional, is trust between the two parties. And our Amazon Economic Development team strives to do that every single day. We always assume we're going to interact with the community again. So we try to leave a great impression by being responsive, supportive, and honest with our community partners. And when we build a facility, like I said before, we don't just wipe our hands and walk away. We stay engaged with that community. So it's a constant ongoing relationship with those economic development partners. But I guess the short answer is that our needs are changing all the time. Amazon's a dynamic business. And where we locate, you know, it's really just going to be based off demand, but we always try to stay engaged and responsive to our economic development partners.
So just a follow-up to that, you talked in an earlier question about the role that sometimes elected officials can play, and they can have strong feelings about things. So how do you feel like you're working to educate key elected officials along the way so that they may better understand the benefit of Amazon to a municipality or to a state? How are you kind of engaged in that work?
Right. I think it's telling that story about the economic impact that I was just saying, but I think it's doing it in a tangible way. You know, saying figures like 530 billion or 1 million employees, it's impressive, but I think we all better understand and conceptualize when we break down those big figures into human stories and localize the impact. So, when I'm talking with these elected officials, I like to talk about the career choice program that provides that prepaid tuition to our employees at community college. And I like to reference the community colleges in that elected official's jurisdiction and say, look, these associates will be going to this college to get those skills and degrees. I like to draw a direct link between our capital investment numbers and the ad valorem revenue that these communities are going to be getting. And, you know, saying, hey, look, you're going to be getting hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of windfall and tax value. And think of the different projects and priorities that you can fund with that. I think it's also talking about, you know, not only the upskilling of our workers through career choice, but the living wages and the wraparound quality benefits that we provide allow those residents to have stronger purchasing power so they can go into the business district of a community, shop at a mom and pop retail place, go out to eat to restaurants. And so it's helping to empower and support larger parts of the community. And so I ultimately try to communicate that the presence of an Amazon facility in a community is not diminishing the quality of that community, but in fact, it's enhancing it in a variety of positive ways.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad that you're doing that work. And I think it provides a really good example of how economic developers can also continue to do that work with elected officials for all the projects that they're working, because it's just a really important part of that role. So let's talk about sustainability, because I know that Amazon has committed to a net zero carbon by 2040. And I'm just curious, like, how that corporate sustainability strategy and those aggressive goals that Amazon has put forward is also impacting your work on the economic development side on behalf of the corporation.
Yeah, well, I think it's really helpful. I think it helps to tell that positive story, like I was just mentioning, when interacting with elected officials or community members. I would like to talk a little bit about that net carbon by 2040. It's part of what we call the Climate Pledge. It's a really exciting initiative. And basically what we're doing is investing more than $2 billion to support the development of sustainable and decarbonizing technologies and services. We're on a path to be 100% of our operations to be powered by renewable energy by 2025. You know, it's 2022 now, so it's not like this is some far off time horizon. It's 3 years away that we're on path to have this be 100% renewable energy powered. Another exciting initiative is that we're putting 100,000 electric vehicles on the road by 2030. So within the next 8 years, we plan to have most of our vans that are delivering packages be powered by electric vehicles and not gas powered. From an economic development standpoint, you know, we're working with our utility partners because they're very important when we're discussing the energy component. And so we work in the various regions to ensure our infrastructure are in place, like the EV charging stations that we need, electric vehicle charging stations. I think the most important thing we can do is continue communicating these initiatives so that residents and the communities can feel comfortable with our presence. And again, not see an Amazon facility as some environmental net negative, but actually as an environmental net positive. So overall, it's a really inspiring story, the Climate Pledge and what we're doing. And we're proud to be making these investments in sustainability and green technologies.
Well, thank you so much. And I know we're running very close on time here, so I don't want to take any more of your time, but I do just want to say thank you on behalf of our listening audience, because it was really great to hear your perspective and to hear about some of the amazing things that Amazon is doing as the company in general and as they're, you know, selecting facilities and continuing to grow. And just really exciting the work that you're doing and your kind of take on things. I think there were a couple really, really good takeaways in here for our listening audience to help them just think about their process better and to think about things from more of a corporation standpoint. So I just want to thank you so much for your time and for your contribution to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a lot of fun and great. And I'm glad to be able to communicate this to the economic development audience. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.